Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the Women's World Cup Final post-game show, as the USA defeat Japan and they get their revenge from the last World Cup Final they faced against Japan. Of course, the Japanese playing hard for members of their nation that unfortunately died during a massive earthquake. This time around, the United States, under Jill Ellis, they find a way to score four goals, a hat trick by Carly Lloyd in the first 16-17 minutes of this first half. And boy, oh boy, did that just continue on from there, a snowballing effect. There were moments in the second half where you thought Japan, I know they pulled one back late in the first half, you thought Japan was an own goal from the United States, and you're thinking Japan's back in the game, but that fifth goal was huge. That fifth goal converted by the United States, and they go on to win their third Women's World Cup championship by a final of 5-2. Right now we're seeing the officiating crew in this final getting their referee medals from members of Japan Football Federation, Sunil Gulati from the United States Soccer Federation, members of FIFA, from the Women's Football Department in FIFA, as they are celebrating right now out in the middle of BC Place in Vancouver. Once again, this is the home of the Vancouver Whitecaps, as well as the BC Lions of the Canadian Football League over at BC Place. You know, let's be honest with ourselves here, and that is this. Did you expect to see them score four goals? I didn't expect to see them score four goals. Did you think that they were going to go out and manhandle or, you know, womanhandle the Japanese? Honestly, I didn't think they were. I thought this was going to be a very competitive game. I thought this was going to be, a lot of fight for Japan to defend their title. And the United States came out like gangbusters, and they just completely blasted Japan out of the park. They poured it on. Carly Lloyd on a mission, four goals in the first half, but Carly Lloyd with a hat trick. My God. What a match for Carly Lloyd. She probably is the woman of the match in this one. And she's walking up right now getting the silver boot, Carly Lloyd. Second place finisher in this entire World Cup. She's giving a hug right now to Sunil Gulati. Handshakes to the Japanese Football Federation president. She gets the silver boot for this World Cup. Congratulations to her. And if anyone wants to call in, of course, 646-929-1823, you can go ahead and call in and give me your opinions about this match. But my God, United States on a mission, just a complete and utter destruction by Carly Lloyd and the United States. Golden boot goes to Hope Solo, who only allowed in the group stage one goal. She didn't allow any goals in the quarterfinals, the second round, the quarterfinals, the semifinals. Yes, she allowed two here. One, of course, was on a great shot. The other one was an own goal off of Julie Johnston's head by accident. She's getting a big hug now from Sunil Gulati and the handshake from the president of Japan's Football Federation. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, unbelievable stuff here. Unbelievable stuff what we're seeing in this Women's World Cup. And very soon, Japan will be going up to the podium for their second-place medals. More awards being given out, obviously, as Eva Miyama gets an award as well. I missed what it was, but, you know, the Japanese, they played hard. They played strong. They really got blitzed in the first 15, 20 minutes of this matchup. So basically at the start of this match, they didn't play great at all. They just got torn apart. Torn apart by the United States. Carly Lloyd going back to the podium. She's going to receive another trophy from the Silver Boot. And she's going to get the golden ball right now. Another big hug coming from Sunil Gulati. And then she's showing the big golden ball. It looks like you can smack someone in the back of the head with it. My God. But once again, you're seeing great scenes from Vancouver at BC Place. A very large contingent of American supporters. Once again, just great stuff. Great, great stuff coming. And the women, the U.S. women, lining up on both sides, awaiting the Japanese national team to come through the gauntlet and giving them applause. Giving them applause as they walk through to tell them good game, great sportsmanship once again from the United States. Some fans from Japan right now waving they're holding up their nation's flag, the white flag with the red sun in the middle. And here comes the Japanese women's national team getting applause from the USA women's national team. And, of course, Japan, you know, Japan is proud of their women, obviously, on how well they've done. Rapinoe giving a handshake to a teammate. And here they come, handshakes now, handing off second-place silver medals to the women. Sunil Gulati, of course, and the head of the Japanese Football Federation, of course, right there to give the handshakes. Unbelievable moment here to see with the Japanese women, of course, thanking, shaking hands, bowing, of course, to say thank you so much and everything. Obviously, it's difficult. 4 years ago, Japan wins the Women's World Cup, inspired by the tragic earthquake that happened in their nation and taking out one of their cities. So many people passed away 4 years ago, but now you're seeing great sportsmanship coming here as once again they went through the American gauntlet and the women's national team for the U.S. applauding Japan for their hard work, for their dedication. Not meant to be for Japan, but let's not forget, great opening 20 minutes of this World Cup as the United States just puts on a 4-goal blitz and makes it 4-0. Before Japan does pull one back in the 27th minute from Yuki Ogimi, and then an own goal in the second half by Julie Johnston, and that made it 4-2 Japan. But once again, 5-2 as Tobin Heath converted off a point blank rip on a nice cross to make it 5-2 in the 54th minute. And after that goal, you felt comfortable as an American fan. You felt comfortable after that goal as an American fan because that is when the United States was going to win this Women's World Cup. Here they come now on the podium, the U.S. women, led by Carly Lloyd. Handshakes already going down the field. On the podium, shall I say, as they will now get their first place medals. Abby Wambach, she said that this was the one title that eluded her, and you know what? She's got it. She came in as a substitution in this match. She came in the 79th minute for Tobin Heath. And the United States women's national team now getting their first place medals. Megan Rapinoe dancing, putting her arms in the air, celebrating already. She can't wait to grab that Women's World Cup trophy and really celebrate the first ever Women's World Cup trophy since 1999 on home soil when the United States defeated China at the Rose Bowl, and it was Brandi Chastain with the winning penalty kick in the round of penalties. And she, once again, we have to remind everyone, she ripped off her jersey. She was wearing her sports bra, but still, that was a wonderful moment for the United States. Of course, head coach Tony DiCicco at that time, who is the analyst for this coverage here on Fox Sports. Klingenberg hugging Sunil Gulati. The girls behind, the officials on the podium behind them, they're all dancing. They're all jumping up and down. They're hugging each other. We have Abby Wambach. I guess she's just going to hang on tight and wait till she gets her name called or something. I don't know, but here they come. Here comes Abby Wambach. Here comes Christine Rapone. Christine Rapone, the last member of that 1999 World Cup team that won at the Rose Bowl. Abby Wambach, this is her last World Cup. A big hug from Sunil Gulati. And, of course, she's wearing her first place medal, the gold medal, signifying the United States has won the FIFA Women's World Cup. The Japan Football Federation officials and the U.S. soccer officials have now left the podium. And now all that is remaining right now is to hand the trophy over. And it looks like it is FIFA Vice President and President of who's going to hand over the trophy. 1, 2, 3, and the Women's World Cup trophy has been lifted. Abby Wambach holding up the championship trophy. Issa Hayatou, the president of the Confederation of Afrikaners Football and a FIFA vice president, has lifted the Women's World Cup. No sign of Sepp Blatter anywhere. As everyone knows, Sepp Blatter, I think, is not going to travel for anything right now with all this FIFA scandal, the corruption scandal happening. But let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about this Women's World Cup trophy being lifted by the United States Women's National Team. And if anyone wants to call in and give me your opinions, of course, 646-929-1823. Call in with your opinions about this Women's World Cup championship if you want to talk about it right now. Phone line is open, so come on in. Hoping to get Carter Krishnire on as we get some post-game stuff here talking about this championship final. Once again, it came out like gangbusters. The U.S. women just came out like gangbusters, and it all got started by Carly Lloyd in the third minute. How she ripped that shot in there out of the blue, just came out of nowhere. And then in 2 minutes later, off a corner, the ball is bouncing across the area. Alex Morgan was actually picking her hand up, yelling for a handball, possibly a penalty for the United States. No whistle for a penalty was blown, but Carly Lloyd snuck in and scored to make it 2-0. And then it was Lauren Holiday in the 14th minute on a sensational volley as the ball was ready to land right in front of her. Didn't let the ball bounce, and she smacks it past Kahare to make it 3-0. And then, of course, that midfield smack in the 16th. That midfield smack in the 16th minute put the U.S. ahead 4-0. Carly Lloyd gets the quickest hat trick in Women's World Cup history as she converts in the 16th minute. It's 4-0 for the United States. And then, of course, Ogimi in the 27th minute on a great ball. She bent that inside the far post to make it 4-1. Calamity in the USA back line. Julie Johnston accidentally heads the ball back inside her own goal. Hope Solo tried to keep it out, unfortunately. It did not happen. And then all of a sudden, it would be Tobin Heath in the 54th minute as she would make it 5-2 for the United States. And that's when you can breathe a sigh of relief as the United States, once again, they have won the 2015 Women's World Cup. This is their third World Cup title since 1999 over at the Rose Bowl. It is an absolute fantastic finish to a great career for Abby Wambach. And you know what? You gotta say that for this women's team, they played an unbelievable final. You know, some were already saying that it was all over, being up 4-0. But you know what? There was still plenty of time left. Still plenty of time left for Japan to try and make a game out of it. And when the United States actually assisted in that small comeback at 4-2, a little bit worried there, a little bit nervous there. But you know what? They were able to get that fifth goal, which is what I think everyone wanted. I think everyone wanted that fifth goal. And you know what? They finally got it. And great job once again by the United States. And you know what? Just a fantastic tournament in this World Cup. And all I can say is that Jill Ellis has been vindicated. Now, whether she feels vindicated or not, that's going to be a different thing. That's going to be a different thing altogether if she thinks she feels vindicated. Because the truth of the matter is this. You have to say, there has been tons and tons of criticism laid on her feet. That's the truth. Tons and tons of criticism was thrown at her, not just from the soccer media in this country and probably everywhere else. Tony DiCicco let her have it. Michelle Akers let her have it. And when this game, you saw the old USA national team going out and put a hurting, a whooping, a laser blast, cannonballs coming out of nowhere and past the net, past the keeper and into the net. This, finally, you're seeing why Jill Ellis has the confidence to go out there. She believed in her tactics. She believed in her formations. She believed in everything that she put out there. And here's the stat of the match. First hat-trick in FIFA Women's World Cup final history. Earliest hat-trick in FIFA Women's World Cup history. Three goals by Carly Lloyd today against Japan, the third, the fifth, and the 16th. That is how great this final was. That's how great this final. And look at Abby Wambach. She has the flag raised over her head. She's running out in the field. She's holding up. It's just amazing what we've seen here. It's just amazing what wonderful things that has happened finally with this women's national team. Because right now, it's just been unbelievable what we're seeing in Vancouver tonight. Joining me now from World Soccer Talk, Kartik Krishnayer. Kartik, as we've said already here, the USA coming out like gangbusters in the first 20 minutes. Japan settling down after those 20 minutes. But you know what? Even though there was a worry that they pulled two back before Tobin Heath made it 5-2, this was probably a very solid final for the U.S. women.
Yeah, great victory for the U.S. I mean, I said it, I know, a couple weeks ago on the show. I kind of got told you my issue with Jill Ellis was that Carly Lloyd wasn't being given the opportunity to go forward with the kind of gusto that we know she can, that we've seen her do for go forward for her 12 years on this national team. And once the tactics changed, once we had Morgan Bryan in that midfield, you have had a fifth midfielder, another midfielder kind of sitting deep, that gave Carly Lloyd the opportunity to go forward. The U.S. did well on set pieces, two beautifully struck balls by Megan Rapinoe. They really put Japan to the sword. They didn't know what hit them. Credit to Japan, they were the reigning world champions. They really fought hard in this game. You know, Hope Solo hadn't had to do a whole lot in this tournament. Japan got two goals back. They could have gotten three, four, five goals back, honestly. I mean, they created enough chances. And this was the first game where Sauerbrunn and Julie Johnston looked like they were kind of off their game a bit. But Hope Solo rose to the occasion, made those great saves. Miyama didn't have the kind of game I expected her to have for Japan. So that was important. Great victory for the U.S. I think especially significant is the lack of step ladder at this game. So all the award winners and Japanese players get their silver medals. The U.S. players get their gold medals and the trophy. I think it was good that way, right? I don't think the U.S. players or the Japanese players particularly want to see him, but yeah, he is still the president of FIFA. I can't put into words what. I mean, I think we all know what it means that he wasn't there, but it's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It is. It really is. It goes to show you, Kardik, that Sepp Blatter is nervous that the Canadian Mounties might get their opportunity instead of
guy.
So
I mean, clearly the thought was that he shouldn't step foot on North American soil, even as the FIFA president, because he could get arrested. So he wasn't there.
Yeah.
We saw prominent roles for Japanese and Americans, and yourself and Gulati on the podium, in the trophy presentation, in the medal presentation, but no actual FIFA officials.
Well,
no
actually,
Jerome Valk.
Mm-hmm, that's true. No,
no
Jerome Valk. I believe that was Issa Hayatu, the CAF president, and he's also a FIFA vice president. So technically, Issa Hayatu was there to represent for FIFA.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going below the belt here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
I mean, you know, when you've got the president for the Confederation of African A's Football handing over the FIFA Women's World Cup trophy to the United States, and it's not good old Sepp Blatter
or
Jerome Valk.
Let's get back to the U.S.'s great triumph and our World Cup victory for Abby Wambach and for everybody else in a minute, and you know, the great tournament the Japanese had, defending their trophy, falling short today. We'll get back to that in a minute. But we're about to enter the CONCACAF Gold Cup this week, and I really think these questions that we put aside everything for the last month to celebrate the women's game and celebrate the beauty of the football. We saw it again today from Carly Lloyd and from Megan Rapinoe and from some of the Japanese players. We put that aside for a month, but now that the Gold Cup is starting with CONCACAF, which is incredibly corrupt, I think we have to start asking these questions again. Beginning, let's give it 24 hours. Let's celebrate this victory here in the States for our team. Let's honor the other teams, England, Japan, France had great World Cups, Australia. Then, starting Tuesday, we need to start asking these questions about FIFA again. Because they can't go away.
No. No, and it won't go away on this show, that's for sure. But I got to say this, Kardik. It was great seeing Christine Rampone won the last members of the 1999 World Cup. She got her – the last substitution was made for her. And you know what? It's very, very fitting. It's very, very fitting that she would go up there as one of the last members of 1999. Of course, we remember it was
you know
U.S. and China, a round of penalties.
You want to know what was even better?
Tell me.
Carly Lloyd leads the lineup, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, you know, why isn't Abby leading it up? They left it for Christine Ramphone and Abby Wambach to go last and lift the trophy together. That shows what a team this is. That show, and then the guard of honor for the Japanese player, the players kind of respect that the two teams have for each other. The trophy presentation was amazing. Although, again, I have to say that it would have been very awkward if Blatter had been there. So maybe all this pomp and circumstance that we're hailing was possible because he wasn't there. Shannon Box, also a veteran player, she finally wins the Women's World Cup. I'm happy for her.
Me too.
Didn't play much in this World Cup, but that's a big deal. I think one thing that we're going to have to discuss going forward is Jill Ellis, because I really felt like this program was making progress under Tom Sarmani towards being a different kind of program for the future. This World Cup, we were very defensive. It wasn't until people like me and others started screaming about Carly Lloyd. It's funny, I brought it up on a Tuesday. By Thursday, the whole country seemed to be screaming about it, but that she wasn't playing the kind of role she needed to. But I do have – this is a great triumph, but I do have a concern that we didn't win this – we won this World Cup today our way. This was the United States that we're used to today against Japan when we needed to be at our best because we're playing the best team, right? These are the two best teams in the world. But to this point, we weren't really ourselves. And we won this World Cup, but we have to have some reflection. Do we want to change into this kind of defensive team that only comes out of our shell when we're playing a team that's going to score goals on us because Japan is going to create chances because they're Japan. They're not, no offense, they're not Nigeria or Colombia. So is that the only time we're going to play football the way we can? Or you get what I'm saying.
No, of course I do. And listen, I agree with you. I mean, we need to see some more offense here from Jill Ellis. I mean, obviously, I can understand maybe why she went defensively. I mean, did she have to go defensively all the way through? No, she shouldn't have done that. And like I said, I understand there's some criticism about how Jill Ellis won this World Cup, too much defense and not enough offense. And obviously, when you put the ball in the back of the net, that's the only way you're going to win these types of games. But at the same time, if she felt that maybe she didn't have the right people and maybe she's going to tweak a couple of things, then maybe that's what she has to do. And like I said before, this is her first World Cup.
Yeah, one of the things might have been she didn't have a lot of faith in Morgan Bryan, who was a player that we watched at the University of Virginia. And I had a lot of faith in. But she might not have been a player that Jill Ellis had a lot of faith in. But then when she was forced to play her against China with Lauren Cheney, Lauren Holiday. I keep doing that. She's Lauren Holiday now. She was Lauren Cheney until recently. She got married. With Lauren Holiday suspended, she was forced to play Morgan Bryan in the central midfield position. That gave her some faith in the kind of game Morgan Bryan could play, and it gave Carly Lloyd the ability to go forward in a way that we have not seen her in this World Cup. And then that just continued. So I think that was really a key when it comes down to it. I mean, I felt like that was important as we progressed in this tournament.
Yep.
Because then
absolutely,
you have the three midfielders of Holiday, Lloyd, and Morgan Bryan. And They were able to make runs off of one another. And then what ended up happening is you went to a 4-3-3, which could play like a 4-5-1, which it did for a lot of today because Japan had more of the ball than we did. And then Rapinoe and Tobin Heath or Heather O'Reilly or whoever's playing, Kelly O'Hara, whoever's on those wings, drifts back into kind of more of a defensive position. So that was good, actually. I like what we saw with that formation. Good World Cup. I would say Alex Morgan didn't have the best World Cup. She's coming off an injury. Maybe the turf affected her. But otherwise, all our big players rose to the occasion when they needed to. And in particular, we talk about Carly Lloyd. But in particular, I would say today especially, because we know how Japan likes to build up their play through the left side, through Miyama and their other left-sided players. Once again today, Ali Krieger was massive.
Yes, absolutely. She was very massive in this game. A lot of support in the midfield, definitely. I mean, Krieger is just absolutely a monster out there for the women. And just finding those holes, finding a ways to at least, you know, build up the attack, get Lloyd, you know, in those positions. And I thought, you know, set
right.
pieces were unbelievable as well. Set pieces really set up Lloyd on how she was able to get into those holes, convert those chances. Two goals in like 2 minutes, Karik. That's unbelievable. And let's talk about that midfield smack. My God, from the halfway line, how she was. I mean, we know she's a confident player, and we know there are times she's going to take a chance at something miraculous. But I have to be honest with you, I don't know how that ball. I mean, even though Kahori did get a paw on it with her right hand, I mean, it still went inside the net.
Let me tell you something about Kahori. I felt really bad for her. She had, by that point, lost complete faith in her back line. Total faith.
Yeah.
To the point where she was way off her line. Carly was like, what a chip. What a great goal. Right? We saw David Beckham do that against Casey a couple of years ago here in MLS. We saw Charlie Adam do that for Stoke against Chelsea a month or two ago in the Premier League, towards the end of the Premier League season in April, I think it was. But you don't see that very often, especially in a final like this. Kahori had completely lost confidence. I'm watching the goal again now. Completely lost confidence in the back line.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
And so she also
terrible.
She also at that's about reading and recognition.
Yep.
She also probably prevented the scoreline from being worse because knowing how bad her back line was, she started coming off her line quickly on corners. So we scored twice off set pieces in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yep.
Kahori then realized, you know what, my back four, they're not at the races today. So she started coming out and claiming the ball. That is how we got the fifth goal, because she had come off her line knowing her defense wasn't going to deal with that. Tobin Heath puts that ball away. But I think it could have been 7 or 8 if she hadn't made that change. So being a goalkeeper is a lonely position. You get blamed for things when they go wrong. I really feel for her today, because I think her back four were horrible, and she got hung out to dry.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, this is one of those games where it's not even the keeper's fault. It's just the defensive back line just could not find ways
to plug
the hole.
Right, like I said, it
would
have been worse. Another keeper might have been 8.
Yeah.
Let's talk about keepers. Let's talk about our keeper, Hope Solo. Similarly,
yes,
she has not faced – she didn't face a shot on target against Germany. I think she faced one shot on target against Japan. She faced really very little against Colombia, nothing against – maybe one shot against Nigeria, one or two against Sweden. She at times faced an onslaught today. We know Japan creates chances. I mean, we watched this World Cup. Japan's finishing is not very good. They don't score a lot of goals, but they create more chances than anyone. I mean, it seems like the other teams never have the ball, right? So
– right.
They put Julie Johnston and Becky Sauerbrunn under a lot of pressure today.
Yeah.
And Klingenberg and Krieger on the flanks. Hope Solo was authoritative. She had command of her area. She came off her line when she needed to. She made some great saves. And she ultimately, no one really will talk about it. And, you know, I don't really want to talk about it because I think we all know the discussion of Hope Solo is a little bit difficult for us to have because of what's gone on and because of the situation, personal situation, off the field situation and the controversy and people like Keith Olbermann who've said, maybe rightly, that if she were an NFL player, she would have been suspended. She wouldn't be playing in the World Cup. But she had a big part of the victory today because I have to say, after about minute 25, I would say the game was pretty even. Maybe Japan was slightly better. Now, we had a 4-goal lead at that point. But she had to make a lot of saves. She had to do a lot, and not only that, keep her back four organized. Because for the first time, it seemed like Klingenberg and Krieger were on each side, and they were having some difficulty. But for the first time, it seemed like in this entire tournament, Johnston and Salbrunn were being moved. They were being pulled out of position. First time in the entire World Cup that had happened.
Yeah, absolutely. For once, Kardik, and not to take a shot at Fox at all, but for once, the post game is all on Fox Sports National, not on. I let me tell you, I took a look at my TV guide on my TV, and it says on Fox, it says the last man on Earth, and then I went to Fox Sports.
Okay, I see Kelly Smith is on talking.
Yep.
Yeah, so this
yep.
is this is good. She's talking about this is pretty good that they've got that they're actually staying on there now. Okay, so they're coming up next on Fox Sports 1. I think this World Cup was really, really good. It was excellent for us to win that third star in the United States. It was good for Japan to get back to a final. Let me say this, okay? And I'm about to put this on social media. It's going to go get people crazy. The last two women's finals have been between these two countries. They have been brilliantly played games. The last two men's finals in the World Cup have been tactical. They've been cynical. They've been poor football. Now,
yeah,
and then the Copa final, same thing yesterday. I think the men's game is getting overly brutish and overly physical compared to the women's game. Now, maybe it's just these two countries, because the United States and Japan keep playing in finals. The Olympic final was a great game, too, actually. Maybe it's just that these two countries are really good, the U.S. and Japan. But I think it's more than that. I think the women's game is just, it's got something to it that the men's game doesn't.
Yep.
I don't think it's just the U.S. and Japan. I think it's everybody.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, that's what you see when you get to the finals, because the defense is going to be really, really big. And then when you see the women's game, or at least this women's final, you're seeing more offensive caliber players because they're going for it. That's why, because they're going for it. You know, in the men's game, in the final, you know, it's all too defensive. I mean, look what happened with Argentina. Twice now. You lose the World Cup last year, you lose the Copa America this year, because either you're playing a little too more defensive or you just can't convert a penalty in the shootout. But, you know, I was happy for Chile anyway for winning the World Cup. But still, once again, Kardik, I just feel like the women just played stronger. They played, you know, not saying Japan was not hungry. I just don't think Japan was ready.
I don't know. Japan was the best team in this tournament until the semifinals, and then semifinal, England was better than them, and today the U.S. was better than them. Japan was probably slightly better in the second half, but I don't know. It was weird. Japan, I thought, was. I mean, going into the semifinals, I thought Japan, we talked about this, this in some other books, I thought Japan was far and away the best team. Then I didn't think Germany was very good. I did say very openly I thought the U.S. would beat Germany. But I did say the one team in the tournament I feared was Japan, and I didn't want to play them. I was hoping England would beat them. I was like, excuse the language. We can't face them. We gotta avoid them somehow.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know. It didn't click for them. England should have beaten them. And then we beat them. We were all over them the first 20 minutes. By the time they started playing, they were out of the game. Although, look, we saw second half. What they're capable of. I mean, they kept the ball well and they created chances. And I thought they were quite good at that point.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you there. Let's just quickly go to the statistics of this match. Very interesting possession-wise. Japan won the possession. USA with 48%. Japan with 52%. On attempts, 15-12 U.S. On target, 7-4 U.S. Level on off target with 4 and blocked shots with 4. Attacking-wise, 7-3 corners U.S. Both were offsides once. Japan wins the free kicks in 15-11. and it was 3-2 on saves for the United States. So once again, obviously 3-2 saves for the United States because Japan got blitzed like nobody ever thought they ever get blitzed. And fouls committed, 14-10 on the U.S. Japan gets both bookings, no second yellows into red and no straight red cards, but still Kardec. Let me ask you this. I want to throw this out at you. Did you think that there were so many twists and turns in this FIFA Women's World Cup that it was all unexpected because we never thought you would see, like, there were teams that you favored and they did poorly, or teams that did that you thought were going to do poorly and then all of a sudden they became the favorites?
Yeah, I came into this tournament really liking France, and then I've liked France for the last 8 months, right? Really, since October, November, I've been picking them, and then what they did to the U.S. in that friendly. But then they lost to Colombia, which was a shock. I came into the World Cup thinking England was going to be pretty good, and even though I rated France, I thought England was going to play with France in that first game. They didn't. So that was a surprise. But then England, the rest of the tournament, met my expectations, exceeded my expectations. But then France played so well against Germany. Germany, I didn't expect much from, even though everybody was picking them. They met my expectations. They should have been beaten by France. They didn't finish their chances against Norway, and the U.S. beat them, and the U.S. beat them badly. Okay, they didn't have a shot on target in that game. That was 2-0. This was 5-2. This game was more competitive than that game. Even though I guess the officiating was at question. So they disappointed me. Teams that surprised me, the U.S. winning the World Cup, thrilled about that. Japan getting back to the final with all the pressure on them and how well they played until the semifinal. Colombia was a really pleasant surprise for me. Great for the game in Latin America, great for the game in South America. But the biggest surprise, the great team, the thing that I think excited most people was Australia. Well, what a World Cup, man. And for Lisa Demana, remember, we thought the U.S. had played badly in that first game. We didn't realize how good Australia was.
That's right.
Beating Brazil. Denying Sweden second place in the group, then beating Brazil, then taking Japan to the limit. Even though Japan really outplayed them in that game, they still took Japan to the limit. What a World Cup for them.
Yep, absolutely. Just a great, great World Cup for Australia. And we're seeing a lot of up-and-comers now actually, you know, they're showing why they care. I mean, you just talk about all these teams, and I've said this many, many times, like I've said about, the women's game. At the time, it was if it wasn't Norway, it was China. If it wasn't China, it was the U.S. If it wasn't the U.S., obviously it's Norway, because they only had three teams that cared. And now it's growing. Now it's getting better. Now it's getting bigger. And look at what's happening now with the women's game. And I bet you right now, Kardec, I don't know if it'll be in maybe another 2 or 3, 4 years, maybe another 5 years, or maybe another 2, 3, 4 Women's World Cups final tournaments we're going to get. But I wouldn't be surprised if FIFA expands it to 32. Like the men's game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I thought expanding it to 24 was going to be a risk, and it certainly Thailand and Cote d'Ivoire were not that competitive. But Colombia was one of those teams that benefited from the expansion of 24. They made the knockout stages. They gave the U.S. a better game than Germany did in the knockout stages. They were one of the teams that benefited from that. Certainly, Costa Rica was one of the teams that benefited from that. They showed some signs. Holland was one of the teams that benefited from that. They went to qualify under the 16-team rule from UEFA. They made the knockout stages. China actually would not have made it this time, actually, out of Asian qualifying. It's not for that. And obviously, they made the knockout stages. They made it to the quarterfinals. So we think of China as a power because they were a power, and they took this women's football very seriously for a long time. But they've been kind of in decline. But they struck back this World Cup. So I think 32 teams will work. I think for the men's World Cup, 32 teams is it's a tough one because you could have a World Cup with 48 teams in the men's game if you just added European teams.
Right.
But if you add more teams from CONCACAF and you add more teams from Oceania and from Asia, it seems like there's a drop off. Although I don't know. I mean, Costa Rica in the men's game, they've taken it to another level. So maybe CONCACAF is fine. Maybe it's the other confederations.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that as well. I mean, I think that'd be the best thing to do. Now they're showing Women's World Cup tonight on Fox Sports 1, and they were showing
Carly Lloyd,
I got to give credit to Carly Lloyd. I mean, she came from such a deep position to get herself into position to score those first two goals, like running from a deep midfield position and just tracking it and putting it in.
You're going to get used to this in New York area. I made the Carly Lloyd Frank Lampard comparison for years, and Carly Lloyd's first two goals in this game were Frank Lampard-esque late runs, timed perfectly to arrive in the area for when the ball arrived, and that's the way Frank Lampard scored goals for Chelsea for years, and scored goals for Manchester City now. More recently, although not for England, and England is that's a whole other issue. Carly Lloyd is the direct equivalent of Frank Lampard in men's game.
Right. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I mean, this is going to be one of those things where it's just unbelievable what we're seeing. And as we talked about before, Lauren Holliday, just a terrible gaffe by the Japanese defense. And she just runs onto that ball. Doesn't let it bounce. Sensational volley. What a volley by Lauren Holliday.
What skill. You know, my instinct when I saw the goal, when I was calling in on Ravel with Caitlin O'Connell, my broadcast partner, was, you know what, that must have been a turf bounce because it was so perfect. No, it didn't even hit the ground. It was so perfect.
Nope.
Seeing I hate to go back to this, but I'm wrong a lot. Although I'm right a lot too. I mean, I've been like, Christopher Harris always tells me, you know, I wish you would write down some more of your opinions because you're right a lot. I wrote down all the stuff about Carly Lloyd, so at least I have backup on this. Yes. I hate to say I was right. I mean, I said the U.S. I said it to you right on your show. I said the U.S.
Right. Yes,
it's a complete. My criticism of Jill Ellis. Everyone has like 10 criticisms of her. I have one criticism of her. Get Carly Lloyd forward. Let her get forward. Let her play with the ball at her feet, and we will win the World Cup. Guess what? She let her go forward. She let her play with the ball at her feet. She let her make those late runs. We won the World Cup, and we won the World Cup because of her.
That's right. Absolutely, and that's why you come on the show all the time, because your opinion matters on this show, and everyone loves your opinion, so do I. And you know what? It's good to be 50% right and 50% wrong. That shows you're, like, right down the middle. But I got to tell you, though, but I really have to say this, though. I mean, this was – Just an unbelievable first half in this match. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I told my wife Robin. I said to her, "Honey, you wouldn't believe this. The U.S. is up 4-0 in the first 16 minutes of this game." She's like, "What? Are they really?" I'm like, "Yeah, they're up 4-0, like in the first 16 minutes." And this really could have been. I mean, the way the Japanese backline. I know they were able to get back into the game, but as you said, the keeper was not trusting her backline at all. You don't really blame her at all, and Kahari was just absolutely – this is a game you cannot blame your keeper. You cannot blame your keeper for this game. The back line was a complete meltdown of a mess. I'll say it right now. I was trying to hold off on Twitter. I'll say it right now. Mount Fuji just crumbled.
Yeah.
They just crumbled. Unbelievable. But
yeah,
that was
pretty shocking because Japan has been – so good defensively. You know, I don't know if Japan's been so good defensively in this tournament. It's just that they've kept the ball, right? Watching Japan, since we're making a comparison to the men's game, watching Japan is like watching Barcelona. I mean, they keep the ball. But what happened to Barcelona a couple years ago when they got undone by Bayern was that they got hit by a couple goals early, and then their possession didn't matter. If you're going to beat a team like Spain in the men's game, Spain or Barcelona, or you're going to beat Japan in the women's game, you've got to score early. And that was my concern, was that if the U.S. didn't perform, if it was like the game against China or the game against Nigeria or Colombia, that once you get to the second half, Japan's going to have far more of the ball. You're going to be relying on counterattacking. At that point, you might have to throw Amy Rodriguez on. You may have to throw Tom Dwyer's wife, Sidney Leroux on. You would have to throw on those quick players. Sorry, yeah, I'm just a lot going on.
That's okay. No, I know the we know where the choke is. Don't worry.
Yeah, right. So you're gonna have to do that. And instead, we got the early goals and we kept getting them to the point where that didn't matter. Japan did have most of the ball in the second half. As I said, Hope Solo had to be called in to duty. But I'm really proud of this team. I felt like we were tested, and we came through when it mattered. So it's all good.
It really is. And here's the thing, too. I really find it interesting. Do you think Sydney Leroux? I don't want to accuse her of anything negative, obviously, but do you think that maybe she wasn't conforming to what Jill Ellis needed, or maybe Jill Ellis felt that she just wasn't performing good enough, that she didn't even see any of the field? I mean, she only played, just the three group stage games, and then that was it?
Yeah, she came on for the last minute, I guess, against Germany. In stoppage time for Alex Morgan. I don't know. It's a tough one. Heather O'Reilly didn't play much in this tournament either. I didn't get that one. I don't know. I've been asked that. And people were kind of outraged when Amy Rodriguez started the game against Spain. I thought Amy's a player I've watched since she was in college. Know her pretty well. So she brings a hustle and a work ethic. She's not going to score goals for you. She's a terrible finisher. You saw that first touch against China. But I felt like that was a tactical decision to play Amy Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But maybe it wasn't. Maybe there's something else going on. I mean, look, we become soccer snobs to a certain extent, like the Brazilian fans are about their men's team. We have an expectation around how the U.S. women are supposed to play. And we don't like the tactical game. The Brazilian fans, they don't like what Dunga does. I mean, now he's going to get it again after this Copa failure, but they don't like what he does. They want free-flowing, beautiful football. Barcelona fans didn't like Tito Villanova. They ran him off. We didn't like Jill Ellis because the game was excessively tactical.
Right.
I didn't like Jill Ellis because I felt like she was using Carly Lloyd as a defensive midfielder, the best midfielder in the women's game in the world. She was using as a defensive midfielder. But once you made that one change, it was fine. We won.
Is winning
more important, or is entertainment more important? That's a question we have to answer. And you know what? I don't have an answer to that. Quite frankly, I wasn't entertained by the U.S. team until the last few games.
The truth of the matter is this. I understand that some people want to be entertained and win at the same time. But the truth of the matter is this. When you are in this big tournament called the World Cup, whether it's the men's or the women's, you know, what is the point? Do you want to be entertained and not win, or do you want to win with whatever tactics you have? If you can win and entertain at the same time, then you know what? You know, it's just gravy. But if you are there to win, I mean, let's be honest right now. Like I've said many, many times, okay, I want to see our national team win. I want to see them going at it for the full 90 minutes. If you're going to play defensively and then sneak in a goal, fine. I don't care. You know, I want to see this team win. I will personally shove away the negativity from, you know, so many people. I mean, look, I understand where Michelle Akers is coming from. I understood where Tony DeChico is coming from. I even understood where you're coming from, and I'm not arguing against what you guys were saying, what you were saying, or what DeChico was saying, or what Michelle Akers was saying. I understand that they felt, hey, listen, where are the goals? Where's the beautiful play? Where's this? Where's that? It's not coming. This is not what we did back in the day. You know what? It's different now back in the day, because back in the day, you have, you know, you can destroy anybody at any time, at any place, except for China and Norway. Now, you got Sweden, you got Australia, you got Colombia, you got Mexico, you got Brazil, you got France, you got England coming up here, you got the Germans coming up, you got Japan. You have more opponents coming at you. Even Canada is strong in the women's game. You are seeing the women's game evolve. And if it's going to be defensive tactics that are going to, you know, You got to pull out all the stops and make sure that you stop your opponent, and then you can put your chances away. I'm fine with that. And that's why I'm glad to see Tony DiCicco admit that he was overly critical when the USA was leading the score 4-1, 5-2. I was happy to see DiCicco admit he made a mistake, because this is Jill Ellis' team, and she's doing things the right way. You know what? Someone's going to do something differently. You might not like it. You might not enjoy it. But guess what? What's more important, being entertained or the big W? Being entertained or that nice trophy at the end of the final? What's more important?
Depends who you ask. I mean, I know Chelsea fans, they like the Mourinho style. They're not entertained. They win all the time. I said to a lot of Manchester City fans, look, I don't like this change here, sacking Mancini. Mancini, not entertaining at all. I'm a very tactical manager, defensive manager. We'll play with Gareth Barry in every game, for instance. You know, James Milner in every game. These kind of tough English players. We went to Pellegrini. It was a different style completely. It was, even fans from Spain were saying, hey, this is the one English team I want to watch. But I felt like our results dropped off because of that. So I would say, hey, I mean, well, this isn't good. I like what we were doing with Mancini. And these Man City fans would come back at me on the message boards and say, what are you talking about? This is more entertaining. This is better to watch. We were rubbish to watch. We were terrible to watch. I was like, well, yeah, but we were winning. So
that's right.
It's a debate. It's like a constant debate in soccer with fans, because I get the sense that there is this ethos that some people have that you have to play the game the right way. You know, we saw that in the NBA when we went from the Showtime Lakers, and it's ironic because it's the same coach. We went from the Showtime Lakers to the Knicks playing like this just very kind of defensive, brutish game. And then I remember Riley came to the Heat. We made the Eastern Conference Finals his first season where he had his team playing Chicago and Michael Jordan. And, I mean, the Heat were unbelievably defensive. I mean, I there were games that were like 72-68 in that Eastern Conference Final. I mean, just really kind of sucking up that thing. And so people were saying, well, this is not basketball. This is like American football. What is this nonsense that the Heat are playing, or what the Knicks were playing? But it was, it's what you do to try and win. And then it's the same thing with people would say, Arsenal and Man United were incredibly entertaining. Mourinho came to England, Premier League, and he started playing incredibly defensively, and they won two titles in a row when he got there, because they were winning every game 1-0. We even saw it this year with the game that they won the title in against Crystal Palace. They played with 10 men behind the ball against Crystal Palace at home, but they won, and they won the title. So it's just like, it's this recurring theme in sports.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I like winning, personally.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. And let me be honest here. We can't – our clubs nor our national teams can beat Barcelona 100% of the time. Let's be honest. Barcelona, in my view, Barcelona plays with the grace and the flair and the dramatic goals and the beautiful goals because they got Lionel Messi. Because Messi does things unbelievable in front of you.
Let me just jump in for a minute. I was going to say that Japan is beautiful to watch in the women's game,
right?
But they don't have Messi. So someone said to me, "Well, why is it that Barcelona scores all these goals playing that way?" I said, "Because of one player. Let's be honest about it, okay?
Yeah.
So you take him out of that team, you get what you got with Spain, because Spain basically was Barcelona minus Messi." And Xabi Alonso. What was happening in the 2010 World Cup where they won the World Cup? They won every game 1-0. Okay? The Euro, same thing. 1-0.
Right.
And then they finally beat Italy, I think, in the final 4-0, because Italy was down to 9 players by the end of the game. But and then this World Cup, it blew up on them. So, I think they're not incompatible. If you have a guy like a Messi or a Ronaldo or a Carly Lloyd for us, but they're pretty incompatible, right? You either want to win or you want to entertain.
Yep, you really do. But like I said before, not everyone is Lionel Messi, and no team, either club or national team, is like Barcelona. That's just basically what it is. Cardick, thanks again for being on. Once again,
thank you.
We'll have you on tomorrow, obviously, a recorded NHL segment as the fall season gets underway, of course.
Yep.
And thank you again for helping me out during the Women's World Cup.
Yep, thank you so much.
No problem at all. That's Carter Krishnar from World Soccer Talk. I also want to thank Charlie Flo. I want to thank Paulina Sturzelik, Coach James Galanis, as well as Russell McKenzie from Last Word on Sports. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Once again, United States Women's National Team, third World Cup championship, the last one since 1999. They win the 2015 Women's World Cup. Join me tomorrow. We're going to preview the Gold Cup that's going to start this Tuesday with the U.S. Men's National Team. As always, enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now.